Hello and welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. UNLV 78, Santa Clara 66 here on a, yes, snowy Wednesday night in Las Vegas.
Woo!
Like half the battle was getting there to the Thomas Index.
It was, but we chose a really,
and the other half was getting back.
Chose a great route. Getting back was easy.
Doesn't mean it was fast.
No, but
faster
but,
than going there, though.
Yeah.
Ryan Green and Rob Misch here to discuss Wednesday night's events at the Thomas and Mack Center. UNLV back in the Thomas and Mack Center.
Let's flash forward to Saturday. Wasn't that cool?
That was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. They've got some tricks up their sleeves over there at UNLV.
You never know what's coming next. Anyway, people, they were flash forward to Saturday, the big showdown they were advertising. Arizona, UNLV, high noon, Thomas and Mack. And the Rebels prepped well for tonight.
That one was good. Still not as good as Joe Darger eating the turkey at the free throw. That's my favorite.
That's pretty interesting.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most entertaining.
But anyway.
The
theme to the good, the bad, and the ugly was on the advertisement for Saturday's big showdown,
And it was all good tonight for UNLV. I think
mostly.
Mostly. 78-66, as we said, the final score, you know, a 12-point spread, but a game that after about the first, you know, those opening feel-it-out minutes, you know, UNLV was pretty steadily in control of this one, and there were several reasons why. I think first we talk in general on the offensive end, UNLV 28-61 from the floor. They kind of hovered around that 50% mark from the floor all night, and boy, that the players really talked about how much impact that had not only in, you know, holding that lead, but also it really kept their tempo up on the defensive end. That's something Darger was talking about afterwards.
You got to hit consistent shots. I mean, it's you don't have to go 10-for-10, but you know, keep them at bay. Get a little bigger lead. What they weren't able to do was to really clamp down with about 6 minutes to go and extend, you know, that 22-point lead, extend it a bit, clear the bench, and get guys minutes who maybe haven't played a lot of minutes lately. Deshaun Mitchell played, but it was at the end. In a perfect world, he gets in there for the last 5 minutes of tonight's game.
And he wound up getting 1 minute where he had the token highlight dunk, but you know, that's not to say that the first 30 minutes were anywhere close to a failure. Wink Adams, a man certainly worth talking about. He busted out of a slump tonight. He had 16 points to lead 4 Rebels in double figures. We'll talk a little bit more about that. First, some reactions from the post-game session. Lon Kruger, Joe Darger, Wink Adams talking about tonight's game and looking ahead to Arizona a little bit. Take it away, guys.
A little more energy, a little more dictating, especially on the defensive end, which we hadn't had quite to that degree for a while. Shot the ball much better, especially in the first half, and that's great to see. And again, I thought the people that were in attendance got into it and got after pretty good. So I really appreciate the people coming out and lending the support. Wink really, you know, had a couple, three buckets there, you know, back-to-back in the first half, and I think that really kind of lifted a little pressure off his shoulders, and thought he was much more aggressive, which is great to see. Bryce doesn't mind, the physical play, and again, Brian obviously is one of the guys that's a lot bigger, and good to see. I thought, again, Darius set a good tone there early on Bryant, and then Bryce came in, I thought, and picked it up with some energy, and finish some things offensively as well. And again, Brian's just a really good player, so I thought we made him work for his points. Hadn't thought, of course, about that too much. Guys talked about it in the locker room afterwards and realized at that point that Scott Hoffman and Rene Rougeau, you know, has been here for all of them, so it's that's how far back they go. But no, it's a lot of players, of course, responsible for that, and that's good to see.
Oh, it's definitely much easier and less stressful when we make shots. You know, other games when we're not knocking down shots, it seems more it's more of a struggle. So, you know, it's good to see Wink come out and hit some shots, and you know, Renee got going a little bit, and I hit a few shots, and so that just, I think it really helps the tempo on the defensive end as well. Yeah, we talked about that before the game. We knew there was probably not going to be a huge crowd tonight, and we knew we had to bring the energy ourselves, and got out there from the start and jumped up in them and kind of made them start their offense way out on the floor. I think that was a huge huge for us to dictate from the start. Oh, that's good. That's huge for our confidence, and I think that's the best we've played for 40 minutes straight. Other games we've had stretches where we played well, but I think that was our game that we played the best for the longest stretch.
When Oscar told me he was coming to him, I told him to go to Joe, because Joe was on the other wing, so I was like, man, you can go to Joe, but he told me, I'm coming to you. So when he gave it to me, I jumped up and shot it. When it finally went in, it was just like a sigh of relief. I was so proud of myself to hit that shot, because I haven't hit a three in like the last couple of games. So just to hit that, I went to the locker room and told Oscar, I finally gave you an assist, because all week at practice, we ran that same play, and I've been missing it. So just hitting the game time, it couldn't have came at a better time. Yeah, I think this is the best game. This is a good starting point for us. Our chemistry is coming along. I think everybody's more focused now on what we have to do on defense. And, instead of everybody driving to the basket trying to get a shot, I think everybody's is trying to make a play for make a better shot for another player. And whenever we can do that, we're more effective as a team. I think it was real good for us. Since the break came, everybody's been in the gym before and after practice, just doing extra and, having these games coming up, it's real big to our season. So, I think everybody's on the same page now. I think everybody, is getting the mentality that we had last year. And everybody gets that. And, just like I said, that was a good starting point for us. And we just want to take that into the Arizona game.
All right. Well, there you go. Joe Darger had some interesting comments, as did Wink Adams. And Wink talking about, I thought one of the more interesting things he said was, this was how we expected to be playing on opening night. And, 9-2. Through 11 games is nothing to scoff at, and maybe a better late than never situation, but perfect timing going into this Arizona game. And it's obvious that they weren't looking ahead at all, and they played maybe Joe Darger called it probably their best 40 straight minutes of the season.
Well, yeah, they did something tonight they've only done one other time this season, and that's all three senior starters hit double figures in scoring. And You talk about senior leadership, which has been talked about plenty with this team, and what's more of a leadership type deal than scoring double figures? And they all
off everybody else.
Each one of them admitted that. You expect that foundation, you need that foundation to show the way for the young bucks and to give them confidence. And you saw what happens tonight. The other time it happened was North Carolina A&T, a double digit win. So can they do it back to back?
Well, we talked about Wink Adams, 16 points on 6 of 15 shooting. He had the crown jewel of that was probably that little 7-point flurry he went on towards the end of the first half. He hits a three just before the halftime buzzer. Shakes his fist around, slaps the floor. You could tell that felt good for him to snap that 3-point slump. He had missed his last 20 attempts coming into tonight. Joe Darger, 10 points, had three threes and a free throw. Rene Rougeau, 15 points, but again, the all-around statistical line that you've come to expect from the senior, 7 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive glass, 4 steals, 3 assists, and a block. And again, the senior's not only scoring points, but doing a little bit of everything all over the place. Wink also had 5 assists.
I'm sorry, you're done? Yeah.
No, I'm good. I think I got it all out. No, Joe Darger had 6 rebounds.
You forgot
too.
The other senior, Mo Rutledge, who hit the big three to give them their first double digit spread. Mm-hmm. But going back to Rene, it was big back to back days for the young man in that arena. Mm-hmm. Went through commencement ceremonies yesterday. He told me before he just didn't want to trip, and he didn't trip. He was happy to shake the hand of President David Ashley. He comes back today. Just another strong performance. Nothing outrageous, but just solid across the board. Starting to expect that from him every game.
Yeah, we really can't remember the last time where we've looked at a stat sheet and said, boy, Rene really didn't bring it tonight.
Especially, Ryan, when you look at the fact that he only played 23 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
And
minutes were pretty well dispersed tonight if you look at it through that 8-man rotation.
They were going back like we tend to do so frequently to Wink Adams. He did hit that big three to end the first half with 2 seconds left. That was a big 7-point flurry. But midway through that first half, what really spurred him on was hitting
back-to-back
jumpers from just above the free throw line, 14 seconds apart from each other. He said that's the shot that he practices 80 to 100 times before every single practice. That is his bread and butter. They were wide open. He had to hit them. He did. So he's coming around. He's been a bit sluggish, including this game. In his past 6 games, he's 23 for 80. That's nothing The slump still continues for him. He was 6 of 15 tonight. He hit some big shots, so there's reason to believe he's going to be shooting himself out of it. By the same token, let's pick his last three games. He's not shooting well, but you know what? He's not too much of a detriment to this team
He's still scoring points,
too. His last three, he's got 45 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and in that stretch, 5 turnovers. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing him to start to, the shot isn't falling. He's doing other things. He's had some good passes lately.
And again, it's a thing where you ask any one of his teammates, and they're saying, look, it's not like we want him to stop shooting the ball. You know, they want him taking those shots because even when he's missing, he's taking a lot of pressure. Opposing teams still prepare for the fact that this guy can go off for 20 to 30 points on a given night. They still prepare for that, and when he gets the ball in his hands, he commands attention no matter what kind of slump he's in.
Yeah, because the thing is, if he's cold from long range, you can't just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Because he's not shy. And he doesn't lack confidence. He's going to keep shooting. Rene Rougeau said, hey, you need to keep shooting like Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson. Those guys miss. They just keep shooting. Because once, that opens up the whole rest of his game, opens up the game for the rest of everybody else. So it's key.
Well, let's move inside and talk about the big men tonight. Darius Santee, Bryce Masamba playing Game 2 in the post-Hamga era, I guess if you want to call it. They are the two centers on the roster. They're going to be getting minutes every night, and for the second game in a row, they both had their moments out there, maybe a little more solid today than they were on Sunday, but as a whole. But Masamba, big defensively in the first half on Big John Bryant for Santa Clara. Darius Santee had 11 points and 6 rebounds, 7 of those coming on a nice little stretch for him in the second half where they really started to pull away, too.
With a bad digit, too. That middle finger on his right hand still continues to bother him and hound him a little bit. But you know what? These guys just need to be tough down low, use their body, be physical, give it back as much as they take. And so, it's going to be a battle. But we addressed this the other night, and I think it's coming to fruition, the fact that Bryce Masamba does not see anybody behind him. He does not have to worry about sharing reserve minutes behind Santee. He knows that he has to be a force, and we're seeing him grow every game.
And he even said it after the game, asked him on a scale of 1 to 10, compare your comfort level from opening night to right now, and he said it's gone from about a 6 to a 10, where I think the most interesting thing he said it just feels normal now, this whole routine of getting there, going out on the floor, being expected to come off the bench, play 10 to 15 minutes. It feels normal to him.
Right.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that because, he's making these plays now that I guess you're tagging as signature Masamba plays, very tough, using his body. He had the kick out to Willis for the three where, he took that hard dribble step, knocked somebody on their butt, draws the defense in, kicks it out. Willis has about a year and a half to think about shooting it,
right,
and he cans it. And then, the other thing he can do so well is he can just create havoc in the paint. He gets he got John Bryant's second foul called by I don't think it was a flop. Wink Adams didn't think it was a flop, but he took a hard fall to the deck after he got tangled up with Bryant. And that definitely changed things for Santa Clara because Bryant had to go on the bench for about 6 minutes. And in that time, UNLV doubled its advantage from 6 to 12 points.
Right. We've seen flashes of Bryce in the past this season. His quick outlet pass as it comes in, he kicks it right back out. He's got a deft touch, too. He's getting more and more – he's going to get more and more accustomed to catching those zip passes, those quick zips from Wink. Mm-hmm. So he's learning how to really flourish and be versatile. He's got a heck of a versatile game, and I think he's going to be someone to really watch. I think he could really be a star here. 2 years tops.
Mm-hmm. Again, a neat little win wrapped up in a package and improves them to 9-2. And now we look ahead to their biggest game yet to date. Arizona comes to town.
Wait. Let's not jump ahead too fast. We got still a big thing that happened tonight that we need to talk about.
Uh-oh.
We got a new player. Huh? A new player.
Go for it.
And Rob Ketchum made all of his grades. He had some academic work to shore up. He did well in his finals. Grades were posted yesterday at 3 p.m. The former walk-on is now dressing up for games, and he's traveling with the team. He's number 13. He was a bit cold today in the first half, he told you.
Slipped on some long sleeves at halftime after peeping himself in the mirror a little more in that uniform. Boy, he was like a kid talking about afterwards. And, you know, we talked about, a kid who – that was just a huge thrill for him to be able to dress out for the game tonight.
Right.
And it will be for the rest of the season. And, and you know that if they get in a pinch and they need to go to him at the end of the bench, a kid who's really going to relish just about every opportunity.
See, that's another guy who, you know, if they can secure those blowouts with 5 minutes left, that's a guy that the fans are going to see. Remember him, Rob Ketchum, number 13, 6'5", out of Sacramento. And he's going to show off a versatile game. He is more than capable as a scout team player, and even more than that.
Yeah.
Before they went to Australia, a trip he did not make because of academic work he had to do, he looked really good in a full-court scrimmage. And it was a very big day for Mr. Ketchum in more than one way, too. He saw snow for the very first time, driving to the game with Bryce Masamba, Bryce in the passenger seat. Bryce could not believe it. First of all, Bryce moved here from Sweden to get away from snow.
So he
didn't want to see snow for the rest of his life. Anyway, what does Ketchum do? He pulls over. He gets out of the car. He picks up some snow, and he tastes it. Bryce said he was just going crazy. And Rob said it didn't taste too good, but quite a day for young Mr. Ketchum.
Boy, the snow, everybody had their opinions on it. Scotty Hoffman was talking about how he felt like he was back in Hayes, Kansas. He was talking about how some of the driving was a little rough here today. He's like, you know, I was treating it like a normal day. I was driving with my knee, eating a quarter pounder on the way to the Thomas and Mack. By the way, a nice pregame meal, a quarter pounder.
He's another guy who's going to benefit when there's a blowout with 5 minutes left. Scotty will see the floor.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's had some really fine practices over the last few weeks. He was part of the black shirts who we saw earlier
win
in the week.
Win five straight, yeah.
Win five in a row over the regulars in what is an 11-second drill.
Mm-hmm.
I won't bore the listeners with too many details, but basically it's waves of three going against other waves of three, and it's the regular rotation against the better, for lack of a better word, the scrubs, the guys who never play,
and the transfers, and
those guys held their own, and Scotty just looked great in there. So hopefully, fans sometime soon get to see both Hoffman and Ketchum on the court at the same time.
Yep. Well, now we'll talk Arizona a little bit.
Yeah.
As we head to the stretch run of the show here. Arizona's coming to town off of a very big win. They're in the middle of their finals week right now, so no midweek games for the Wildcats, but they did defeat Gonzaga last weekend, number four Gonzaga. They're a team with not a lot of depth, but the guys that they do have, they rival just about anybody in the Pac-10 at this point.
Well, and we can get into a very good discussion about this too, and give readers a little preview into what you'll be producing in the next couple days on Mr. Chase Buttinger, because that ties directly into what we saw tonight. Give people a little nugget about what Chase had on his mind.
A lot of switching on defense, and
just on defense, but especially up top and the guards.
Yeah, and I talked to Chase Buttinger earlier, and he was, this is a guy who right now is averaging about 19 points a game.
18.6 with Jordan Hill, 18.6.
Points per game go up every year. He becomes a more deft shooter. He's really liking this system that they've got under Russ Pinnell.
Well, he's shooting 60% from three-point range, which is what?
Yeah.
Is that number two in the country?
Mm-hmm.
And ridiculous.
They run a lot of motion offense. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how last year, with Kevin O'Neal there, a lot of set plays.
Yep.
Everything was run out of a set. There was very little, I guess, creativity in that offense. He struggled a little bit last year. You can tell he was a little frustrated by it. But
it was almost defense first on offense.
Yeah, and they played a very tight 3-point game at UNLV, which they escaped with. But he went 2-10 from the floor.
That was a water torture game.
Yeah.
52-49. UNLV has the all time series lead on Arizona, 9-6. But Arizona has won the last two games.
Mm-hmm. Jared Bayless also had an awful game.
Both those guys were the lottery pick
this past June.
Yep.
But I asked Chase what he meant, what he remembered about that game, and he said every single time they came up the floor, every time they set a pick, every time they set a screen, UNLV was just ready to switch off of it. He said they didn't miss one the entire game. There were even points where Bayless and Buttinger were setting screens for each other. Didn't matter. Everything was covered. They didn't get open shots.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how that holds up against this new motion offense that Arizona's running, because it's a little more freestyle. Jordan Hill's much more developed as a low-post presence. They've got another big body down there in sophomore Jamel Horn. There's no question this is the biggest challenge and that UNLV is going to have yet. And, you know, we've talked for a couple months now about how Louisville is going to be really that barometer where we see where they're at heading into Mountain West play. But I think we're going to learn quite a bit Saturday.
Yeah, this was test A tonight. Saturday will be test B, and then the big whopper will be test C, New Year's Eve at Louisville. Mm-hmm. But going back to what Chase said, that's what John Bryant said tonight, the standout center for Santa Clara. He said that the way that UNLV switched up top with the guards, it confounded and confused so much of what the Broncos wanted to do. They weren't able to run many or any of their sets. He said their 20 turnovers, a lot of that was directly attributed to how UNLV just covered everything up top, switched, and just really confused them. So
takes away a lot of that dribble drive penetration, mm-hmm. because you know you're coming off a screen and you're getting bounced right back out. They really close those gaps on you.
I guess it's not quite like an amoeba, but almost. I mean, yeah. It's kind of frenetic matchup, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's
anybody guards anybody.
Yeah, and you know what? It's effective, you know, and especially with Joe Darger playing center last year, they are comfortable. Anybody almost switching on anywhere. Mm-hmm. So against that offense, it's really going to be interesting, you know. Going to Bryce Masamba, nothing against Santee, but tonight against John Bryant, really prepared Masamba well for what's coming up with Jordan Hill.
Jordan Hill is their leading scorer and rebounder, 18-8 and 11-8 a game. A guy who's being talked about as a potential lottery pick this upcoming June. He's the real deal. I mean, he doesn't have a body as big as Bryant's that they saw tonight, but he may be a little more polished on the offensive end.
Well, we'll see about projections, you know. I mean, anybody can say anything. We learned that about Beyaz Hamga and those big five stars.
This guy has proven it.
Does he have five stars?
I don't care. He's developed year to year, and he's doing some serious work right early in the season.
Right.
He had a huge game against Gonzaga. So
yeah.
Let's talk. We're not gonna force ourselves into predictions here, but is this what is UNLV gonna have to do to win this game coming up on Saturday?
They have got to hit shots, and I'm not talking about just a couple timely 12-footers or a couple timely 3-pointers. UNLV went into tonight's game against Santa Clara with the worst shooting in the Mountain West Conference. The worst in field goal percentage, the worst in three-point percentage. Conversely, Arizona is number one in the Pac-10 in field goal percentage, number two in the Pac-10 in three-point percentage, and that number two is also number two in the country because number one, Cal, leads the country in three-point shooting. So
who they've already faced.
Yeah, and not to good.
They didn't defend the three very well. That
no, game. That wasn't a good ending. So I already went on the TV show today and predicted Arizona by six. I'll stick with that. But you know what? If that happens, UNLV fans don't have a lot to be ashamed about. And you know what? It'll be interesting what happens because this Santa Clara team lost to Arizona by three not that long ago. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about an Arizona team that just beat number four Gonzaga and a team that just beat Santa Clara by three. Mm-hmm. So something's got to give there, you know. Maybe I asked Darger tonight, Joe Darger, about, pity someone down the road because there just might be a game where all of a sudden everybody's hitting on UNLV and they're going to win by 50. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen Saturday, but sooner or later.
They've got the potential there.
Yeah, they're not all just going to keep missing. And I also think that I think we addressed this before too. I don't think I think that a lot of Mountain West Conference teams are sitting back going, uh-oh, watch UNLV. Look how poorly they're shooting, knowing that, you know, eventually, someday, soon, they're probably going to break out of that and they're probably going to be ready for by the time league games roll around.
And that's coming up pretty soon at the beginning of January. You know, expanding on that, I think not only hitting shots, but hitting shots early. You look at how important that was for him tonight, getting a lead and having some confidence to play with on the defensive end. I think Arizona's certainly a team that you're going to want to make have to play from behind.
Yeah, I just don't see them starting as poorly as Santa Clara did. You know, Santa Clara didn't get on the board until almost 4 minutes into the game. By then, UNLV had only scored 5 points. Um, if if Arizona doesn't score until the first 4 minutes are gone Saturday, UNLV had better have more than 5 points.
And that's the other thing. Budinger is not a guy who you're going to be able to shut down simply with switches. Because this is a guy who's 6'9" who can shoot from just about anywhere on the floor. He's going to get his shots.
Yeah,
he's got that ridiculous vertical. He's going to get his shots.
And it's not just Chase, and it's not just Jordan. Nick Wise is very capable at the point. And I was looking at the national stats today, and they have many guys in many different areas. You know, there's a reason why, as a team, they're ranked so high in quite a few team categories across the country. So this is going to be a difficult one. But you know what? UNLV's 9-2. They've had 11 games to learn, and they've learned a lot. They even got a three-pointer by Kendall Wallace tonight. So, you know, if he can chip in with eventually, what, a three-pointer each half, then that would be good things.
Oh, 17 minutes, you would hope he could give at least that much. That's what he played tonight. So, any final comments before we get out of here, Rob?
Woo-hoo!
It's coming. You're giving me the chills here.
Wasn't that what a great song?
And it's not
song.
Just this cold studio.
What a great song, huh?
Well, for Rob Bish, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Post Game Edition. We will talk to you Saturday evening following UNLV Arizona. See you then. Take care.